Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That cough you just heard or clearing of the throat comes from Mark Cabali. Still has crust from all the pizza he ate this morning at our Odyssey Pittsburgh Best Pizza in Pittsburgh contest. Mark, what was your personal winner?
You know what? See, they hit it so well, we didn't know who it was. So it was really hard to tell because they would just give us numbers and they never told us who actually sent it in. So there's a couple, but I don't know the names of them, obviously.
It's how just, many slices man, of pizza do you think you ate today? Hard, no.
Here's the thing about this. There was 40 entrants, I believe, right? It reminded me of when you drink beer, but you drink beer out of shot glasses, right? You can drink about, you know, a ton of them, but it only equals to three or four beers, but you get, like, pretty messed up. I only took a couple bites out of a couple of them, but once you get to the 40, it's just like you're just hammered, and that's where I was.
Man, you'd hate to be the mama and papa pizza shop that was pizza 40 on your board, because at that point, you're all pizzaed out. They got no shot.
I was hammering 1, 2, and 3. I got to 10 and 12, and I was like, oh, jeez.
Donnie just ate a slice of pizza 2 minutes ago from that event this morning. That pizza's probably been out, Donnie, since about 6 a.m.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
My wife
Donnie
wants
got the iron stomach.
My wife wants, not Malzy, he's out again with explosive diarrhea. My wife wanted me to get pizza, wants to order pizza for Super Bowl Sunday. I feel like that's a disaster, Mark. I feel like that's going to be amateur hour, trying to get pizza delivered on Super Bowl Sunday, given how in demand it is.
See, I am not a delivery guy. I'm not a Uber Eats guy. I'm not a DoorDash guy. I'm an old school, get in the car, drive to the pizza shop and pick it up guy. So that might be your way of going about that.
But even then, I backlog and it gets so jammed that even if I do pick it up myself, it's still not a slam dunk. The wait time might be 3 hours or 4 hours or something
like
that.
Well, you know, depends on where you're going too, right? Some of the chain ones, I don't know if you're into that, will tell you, you can order online, it'll say it'll be ready in 28 minutes and it counts it down.
I try to be a pizza snob. No offense to the chains out there, but I try to support the small business pizza owner.
Yeah, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
By the way, it got very contentious between Mark and Mulsey and I last week, so I want to apologize for that, Mark. I'm sorry.
That's every week.
You think?
Oh, yeah. You guys are, like, hammering me, you know. Plus, you know, you got – never mind. where's the MILF Hunter at today?
Seth?
Where
is the MILF Hunter, Donnie? Do we know?
I don't know.
He's probably on his way to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. He's a diehard Eagles fan.
He's gone to one Eagles game in his life.
And that was the game against the Steelers this year. Yeah.
He was very interested in the scene at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yep. So were you.
Last week. So were you.
All right. Let's start with Glazer. Glazer says, new start for Russ. Russ won't be back with the Steelers. I say on this show, every time Glazer makes a comment about the Steelers and doesn't say, well, I think, or I might, or maybe, and just flat out says, this is going to happen, or this won't happen, I treat it as gospel because of his relationship with Mike Tomlin. Agree or disagree?
I somewhat disagree. I understand those two are BFFs and everything that's associated with that. But some of the stuff he said on Radio Row just didn't really jive to me. I mean, number one is the compartmentalizing between the Senior Bowl and the Combine, then all of a sudden free agency. If that's the case, the Steelers are in a world of heart. If they're waiting until March 7th to be able to say, what are we going to do with our quarterback situation? So that just didn't seem like that jived up at all. So I don't know. Sometimes Jay has not been correct. I mean, wasn't he all over the Tomlin trade? Maybe last year, this time.
He was throwing out the idea that it could happen. Yeah, you're right about that.
So there's a couple things.
But he's not the only guy that's saying it. I mean, we've got Dejan that wrote exclusive. Steelers don't want Russell Wilson back, per sources. So he's jumped on that. And then what you alluded to when the season ended, and then Dulac obviously took it a step further too, Mark.
Yeah, I just don't think that that decision can be made at this point right now. That would be such a terrible way to go about business, to just cut off your nose right here. You have to go into this offseason having every option open, even if maybe, say, Russ isn't your top choice. You can't say that. You can't approach it like that at all, because if Justin goes here and you can't acquire this guy, then all of a sudden, you know what, you're crawling back to Russell right now. So it can't be a public knowledge or acknowledgement from the organization that tells you which way they're going to be leaning. Then it's not going to do you any good. I mean, I know or heard that maybe Art is more in favor of Russ than maybe the rest. Now, who has last call on this? I don't know. I don't think Art would stick his nose in and saying we're taking Russ and forget about it. But I think that they made it crystal clear, at least Art did to me, and I do believe him on this one. They want to bring one of them back, and I think it's going to depend on which option they have. It might not be their best option. So I don't think they've really said, no, Russell is out, Justin's out, we want him. They probably have a preference.
But I mean, do they need to? Do they need to tell us that they're not bringing Dan Moore back? We know that they're not bringing Dan Moore back. They've drafted tackles in the last two drafts. It's obvious. We don't need a public statement or someone to leak information to know that he's going to play for another team next year. If there was a falling out between the offensive coaching staff, the coordinator, and the quarterback, and the coaches caught in between that, then I think it's, I mean, why do they need Russell Wilson for leverage sake, or why would they even want to entertain bringing him back, Mark, if it was that messy at the end here? I don't know why they would even consider it. He's old. I mean, it's not like they think they can salvage it and have a young guy here for the next 5 to 10 years.
I think you just have to cover your rear end. I mean, like I said, you don't want to go into the season having, you know, Tyrod Taylor as your quarterback, right? So I think you have to approach it that way, where you just can't write him off and say, Russ, you know, thanks, but no thanks. Plus, there's leverage of money-wise.
But, Mark,
too.
if they basically know what Russell Wilson wants in a contract, what his number is, ballpark it, thereabouts, they might say, you know, we're just not going down that road with him. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, that can change, too. I mean, you go with that tampering period, and all of a sudden Russ's not getting any offers or the offers that he likes, maybe that number comes down a little bit as well. I mean, he seems like he's been on a, hey, I love the Steelers at the Pro Bowl thing, and I love the Steelers at the end of the season. So maybe he's aware that there might not be a huge marketplace for him as well. I'm still absolutely not sold that Russell Wilson won't be the quarterback next year. And like I said, it might not be their choice, but it might be their only option.
So I am not
wiping that out.
Okay, so then the issues that are allegedly there between Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson can be fixed and worked out pretty easily?
I think so. I mean, it was. Imagine when this was happening. This was happening late in the season with when their offense wasn't really playing very well. So I still think it came down from the top, or second from the top, where Arthur was just doing his job and saying, this is how we have to play, and maybe Russ didn't like that. I mean, to me, everything I've seen from Russ, I can only go off of what I see, what I hear, what I see happening in the locker room. He does not seem like a guy that's, I mean, people might laugh. He does not seem like a difficult guy to work with. I mean, that's obviously different than what it's said in Denver and Seattle at times, I guess. But plus Arthur, man, he's, to me, everything I've talked to him a lot, he's a guy that seems like a down-to-earth guy that will, you know, work with you as well. So even the concept of those two button heads was a little bit surprising to me. So I think they could.
But you believe it. I mean, you reported that. I mean, you actually think that happened. You know that happened.
Yeah, it did happen. So, I mean, anybody else that denies it's not True.
So do you think that Russell Wilson is butting heads with Arthur Smith, or is he butting heads with Mike Tomlin, but the person that is he has to butt heads with is Arthur Smith because technically Arthur's the offensive coordinator and Arthur's just doing what Mike wants him to do?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right there. I think Mike's they come up with a plan early in the week saying this is how we want to approach this section of games, this is how we want to play. And if things did not work out how they wanted to in Cincinnati and he was changing, whatever Jerry wrote was true, then Mike goes to, just like any business operation, Mike goes to the guy, his direct supervisor, so to speak, and say, hey, fix this, man. It's your job. That's how I look at it. I think Mike said, no, we want it this way. Make sure he follows this plan. That's how the way I look at it. So I think Arthur would have worked with him.
Mark, we know that Russ has a very high opinion of himself, meaning he thinks he can still compete for Super Bowls. He thinks he can play into his 40s. Why would he be so bullish on coming back to a team that put him in a straitjacket?
Yeah, I think options, number one. You don't want to – whoever's going to want to go get Russell Wilson is not going to give him a starting job, I don't think, you know, blanket starting job. If it is, it's going to be a team like, you know, a team you don't want to play for. If it's the Saints, if it's the Raiders, whoever it might be. So I think this is his best opportunity to start and have a chance to win better than, say, some of the other teams that are in the need of a quarterback. So that's probably what he's thinking.
But he's so bullish on it. You know, when that horrible thing happened with the Athletic before Pat McAfee stepped in and gave you the dream of the opportunity of a lifetime, you might have said to yourself, well, I can go work for these people, but you weren't exactly excited about it. So why would Russ express so much excitement about wanting to come back for the Steelers if he thinks that they're just going to put him in a box when he's their quarterback? That's what I don't get.
Publicly or behind the scenes?
So you think behind the scenes he might actually be fuming about the way the season unfolded late in the year?
Honestly, I can't. Everything I've heard and talked from Russell, I can't see him fuming about anything unless he has me totally fooled. The fuming is not a good word.
Okay, so that's interesting.
Maybe I'm sad.
So, Mark, that's interesting then. Because based on that, you probably wouldn't believe that it was Russell Wilson that went and bitched to Dulac or something.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was. It was probably come from, once again, I hate to put words in Jerry's mouth, and I won't. This is just, you know, being in the business so long and how things work out. It's somebody probably inside the building that knew of the situation and wasn't the owner, wasn't the head coach, wasn't the quarterback, but somebody that knew of the situation. That's what I would, that's how I view it as a guy that's covered the NFL for 20 some odd years.
So you would think it probably came from a player or players? No?
Maybe the source came from the player, a player, but I think the original source, once again, this is just how I read the tea leaves. Is it probably came from somebody else, coach-wise, or personnel-wise.
You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Donnie, I didn't think that was that combative, did you?
No, I don't think so.
Well, so we took one person away, and look at the way the tone of the conversation changed there, Mark.
Oh, so you're saying blame it on Malzi?
I'm just saying, do you disagree? Did you think that was an aggressive...
Well, Malzi, Malzi gets really angry really quickly. And if you just hit a word or a statement, you can see the steam coming out of his ears, and you can see the sweat on the top of his bald head, as Joe Starkey would say. So maybe it's me just pushing the buttons of him. Maybe I should take some blame for that.
Oh, yeah, because you'd never... That would be a first, Donnie, that Mark would just do something to push buttons. All right, coming up next.
I do that to Austin all the time.
Four. 4:15, time to start your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. Big shout out to Arch. Donnie and Sarah went there last night. What'd you get, Don?
I got some Sweet Heat wings, and then they have he has a new flavor there, the Duquesne wings, which were very good. Jack Hillgrove actually recommended them to me, so I have to thank him there. Like a honey mustard and Cajun.
Wet sauce?
So the honey mustard is a wet sauce. The Cajun
they sprinkle
is
some
their rub.
Cajun on it. Okay.
Big fan. I thought it was very good.
Big fan.
Archie took care of you. Mark, you did a Steelers watch party there.
Oh, Archie's tremendous. One of the best human beings around. My question is, Pony, you got some pull with the station, right? Can we possibly get Winging It with Donnie back?
To me, that was a slam dunk thing that they were doing. It was like the Guy Fieri locally of wings. You go into all these places and they would send out their best flavors and you'd see how the sausage got made, quote unquote, and you had people come up to you and bond with you and stuff. I thought it was fantastic, Don. You had a beer sponsorship tied in there too, tossing them back with folks. I agree. I think it's time.
Yeah, I've had more people.
Good idea, Mark.
More people than I anticipated have asked me if that's ever going to come back.
Diana Russini now reporting that Russell Wilson is done with the Steelers. Mark, would you like to respond to her on that one?
I'll give her a call later. You know what?
Go ahead, say it. Come on.
No, I just hate to say that once a guy like Glazer says something like this, and we know his history with Tomlin, people seem to fall in that line knowing that, hey, I got something too. I'm not saying that's her, but that tends to happen.
You're
a
safe
lot.
Being associated with Glazer on this because he's right more than he's wrong on
this.
This
makes
things.
You sound smart.
Yeah.
Right? That's my take on it.
I hate to just bring up another Dulac thing, but he said strong possibility that Najee's back. I'm not trying to impugn Jerry's sources again, but that just seems incredibly far-fetched to me based on even some of the things that Art Rooney said in these exit interviews, Mark.
Just say if they do. I mean, boy, you should be able to hammer this organization for that just for the fact that, you know, 8 months, 10 months ago, you could have got him for maybe a fraction of that price. What was the 5 and change.
Six and a half, Donnie? Look that up. Look up what the fifth-year option was for Najee, the exact amount of money.
And if you're Najee, don't you go and test free agency? I mean, 6.7. Don't you go out there and see if a team's willing to give you $10 million a year?
Exactly. This article says that he would do it before free agency started. Why would he settle with the Steelers based on how the season went? Warren getting more playing time as he got healthy, being in there for big moments, snaps.
It makes no sense. But I think what the underlying theme for this, and I hate to put words in Jerry's mouth, so I'll just put them in my mouth here. I think that Mike Tomlin obviously loves him, and that might be the only one. So let's see how much pull Mike Tomlin does have. So I think
Mark, why does he love him?
He drafted him.
Doesn't want to admit he was wrong or admit he made a mistake kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't pay a running back that averages 60 yards a game over his career with a long of 37, $10 million a year when you have other places of need of cornerback, defensive line, wide receiver. Jalen Warren, you give him a shot for a year, bring somebody else in if it's drafting.
I was going to say, you got such a deep draft of running backs here. So many guys you can grab even on day three that could be added to the mix.
And the free agent market isn't robust. I understand. But if you're going to give Najee, say, 3 for $30, I mean, I don't know. How old is he? Does that push him into his 30s? I would much rather franchise him at that point, right? Maybe that's what he was alluding to. I don't know.
Donnie, look up the franchise tag for running backs in 2026. Another assignment. Kelly Stafford, who has a viral podcast, said maybe it is time for Matthew Stafford to leave L.A. because they're disgruntled over the Cooper Kupp decision that was made by the organization. Do you look at Stafford as a guy that the Steelers would look at and say, let's pull out all the stops to at least try to get him here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it all starts with money and compensation, how to get him here, right? He's obviously the better version of Russell Wilson. But, you know, if he's so upset about Cooper Kupp, maybe he should have thrown him the ball a little bit more than two targets a game down the stretch there as well, right?
Well, he had much better options. It wasn't like he had Puka Nacua and Higbee and Kyren Williams, but I get your point.
He's another guy, though, that, I mean, he's not very mobile. He has a good offensive scheme, offensive weapons. Nacua is very good. The running game's very good. I don't think it can translate into instant success here. However, if you're on that same path of let's just add a quarterback and let's see what we can do for a year, yeah, but it's obvious.
And I think that is their thinking. I mean, we argued about this was probably the crux of the argument between us last week with Chris about like what we think the Steelers are and what they think they are, and what they think they are might mean that they are interested in doing something like this, right?
Yeah, I think they do think that they're a couple players away. And when you're so entrenched in it, I mean, I can almost see it, right? Halfway through that season, I thought this team was legit, right? So if you add some pieces here and there, maybe they are close. I mean, we've seen teams make big jumps in the past. I mean, if you add a top-notch corner, a top-notch wide receiver, and a, you know, maybe another year of an offensive line playing better, is it so out of the realm of possibility of them winning 10 and 11 games and getting into the playoffs again? So maybe they do have something. Maybe we're just looking at it too closely and saying they're so far off from winning a championship, which they are.
Yes, I mean, I wouldn't say they're far off from winning 10 games and making the playoffs. Yeah. I almost assume that they're going to do that. Then they're just going to get their heads caved in by whoever they play in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure that the way they view their team is they would much rather have the 9-10 win season and have that opportunity once they get in, even though it hasn't happened in 8 years, rather than being a 4-13 team and just be trash for a couple of years.
Pat McAfee, correspondent, Steelers insider, Mark Cabali with us on the Friday before the Super Bowl. Steelers headed to Dublin to play the first NFL regular season game in Ireland in 2025. Mark, are you hearing that it's going to be in September and it's going to be against the Packers?
I heard it's, what, September 20, what is that, the 21st, 20, whatever. Whatever that Sunday is.
So the 21st is week three, and 28th would be week four.
I think it would be week three.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what I'm hearing. Packers, Bills.
Well, that would be a bitch if it's week three, because that would probably mean a week four bye, and then you wouldn't.
You know, Baltimore didn't do that last year. They went out there and came back and played the next week. So I always thought that they did that too, but I remember Baltimore did not do that. They had a rough schedule last year of travel-wise, or was that 2 years ago? But I know Baltimore's come back and played.
So. We were picturing you already saying things like, oh my God, I got to fly to Dublin and there's no direct flights and the hotel rooms there are small and Pat might actually ask me to go out with those guys and drink beer and have fun while I'm there.
That'd be great. Now, you know, the whole part of Dublin is, to me, the flight. I mean, larger gentlemen on a larger, older gentleman on a plane of multiple hours are just not conducive to comfort. And who has bad knees and bad Achilles? So,
well, you need to do what Russell Wilson does for those transatlantic flights. Get up and do those high knees in the aisles, Mark.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. But other than that, I mean, my passport's expired, so I better probably get on that if that's the case, right? I'm all good with Ireland. I mean, now talk to me about the Super Bowl, and that's a different story there. That's amateur hour, and same with Vegas, right, Donnie?
Well, Donnie killed for not going to Vegas for the Steelers game.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas is famously such a boring town to go to.
Mark, are you?
No, it's not me. It's not me. First of all, it's too expensive. I'm a cheapskate. So
you don't pay for it. It's McAfee is paying you to go out there for these games.
It's been hammered in my head over the years to not spend company's money,
and I try not to. And it just bothers me to spend like $9 for a bottle of water. And that's the case. And our great friend Phil Maines of the Pat McAfee Show just texted me and says, you'll love Dublin. So there you go.
Well, I'm still waiting for Phil to send that care package over with the McAfee for the brand gear that apparently he promised our boss.
Look at that. Look at that. When you send him a fan package of
I would gladly. I don't have access to the room where all the fan gear stuff is. That's like Fort Knox, Donnie.
I think Mackie does.
Getting in there.
I think Mackie does.
Mackie has fan gear?
Mackie doubled his...
We talking about Jason Mackie or Chris Mack? Who are we doing here now?
Jason Mackie, he's doubled his wardrobe since he started working there, I think.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Jason Mackie got fan gear, Donnie? That's news to me.
Probably more than me. I got the hat. I got the zip-up
tie-dye
that we all have.
Hoodie.
I got the tie-dye hoodie that everybody else got.
Phil set me up with a nice care package of that stuff from the old 412 shop, man. It was spectacular.
Do you also, like me, enjoy very much that Jim Miller is the main character in this NFL MVP debate? That a former, like, you're sitting around with your buddies and you're trying to name quarterbacks who started in between Bradshaw and Ben, and somebody randomly says Jim Miller and it gets a big pop and everybody laughs about it, that he is the guy that's getting the most crap for not even having Lamar in his top three?
Top three?
Yeah, he
didn't. Wasn't he fifth?
He had him fourth.
Oh, I thought he had fifth. Yeah, that's you got some
balls,
intestinal fortitude there. As I want to say,
where would you put Lamar,
knowing that's going public and being able to vote that guy? Who, you know, if I had a vote, which obviously I don't, I probably would have voted Lamar as your MVP. To be able to put him down there, that's very like Ron Cook, like, right? In the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
Ron would give blank ballots. He'd mail them back to Cooperstown with no names checked off in years. Right, Donnie, didn't we
That's
have
a power move.
Didn't we talk about that once? He just sent an empty ballot back? Cook for
I
the Hall
like
of Fame?
I feel like he did that more than once.
Mark, so you said you don't like covering Super Bowls. So you didn't have fun in Dallas. You didn't like Detroit.
No,
you didn't
Dallas
like
was awful.
Tampa.
Well, obviously, Detroit was really not a good place for a Super Bowl. The weather was awful. The facilities weren't great. Tampa was nice. I like Tampa. Dallas was just terrible weather for 80% of the day, and I didn't bring a coat like an idiot. So I froze the entire week. Which other one did I went to? I went to the one Super Bowl 50, Carolina in Denver.
That was in San Francisco.
Yeah, and I went to the one
Why
in
did
Houston.
You go to that?
I think I was working at the Trib at the time where they just sent. They always sent your beat writer to the Super Bowl. And I covered the 28-3 game, Patriots-Falcons.
You were
but
there for that?
Terrible, like,
how about
yeah,
that,
was,
Donnie? That's a piece
impressed.
Of that's a piece of American football history there. Marking the house for the Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was auxiliary press box, and that is just.
What's that mean?
Oh. That means you sit up in a crowd with a 2x4 as your desk.
Again,
it wasn't
Donnie. Just it yeah, sucks it when you're at a Super Bowl for free.
Yeah.
You're a hacksaw.
Well, it was
Jim Duggan
with hacksaw Jim Duggan at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was a 2x4. You're sitting in the actual stands of Reliant Stadium next to the fans that's blocked off, and you're.
Doesn't that sound like it sucks, Donnie? You're sitting in actual seats. At a Super Bowl
at the
with
Super
the fans.
Bowl.
Yeah, that was
paid.
Hey, that was, speaking of Ron Cook, that was the Super Bowl that the media, they had a media happy hour or two every day between 4 and 6. And every time I'd walk by from the media room, Ron would be there at 3:49. He would get there and he'd drink the free booze and eat the free food from 4 to 6 and 6:01, get up and gone.
Mark, how about we had Joe and I had Ron on today because it's officially 1 year since he retired and walked out of this building under great fanfare. He described his usual day to us. He gets up, he walks 5 to 6 miles a day in the early morning. He goes home, he has cereal. He will then go lay by the pool for a few hours. Then every single day, 3 p.m., he is at happy hour until 6 or 7. Then he goes back home and he does the whole thing all over again.
Is he Is he all over that shuffleboard court down at Del Boca Vista?
You know what? I don't know about that, but didn't you find it a little bit odd, Marky? I don't think you did. You hear Ron today with them?
No, I didn't. I did not.
Donnie, didn't you think it was interesting that he shouted out just a random woman back in Pittsburgh? It made me think that he had like an old flame here when he said it.
Well,
did you pick up on that?
I do remember that he I mean, he gave shout outs to several different people. But I do remember he brought up right after he said Joe's name, he brought up the
woman.
Woman's name.
Yeah.
But then we asked him if he had any, or Joe questioned if he had any romantic endeavors in Florida, and he said no. And I tried to hype him up and say, Ron, you're still a pretty good looking
guy. I find myself
guy.
Repulsive. How could anybody find me attractive? One of those lines that he used to give all the time.
Oh, Ron's a great human. He asked me, I'll text him every once in a while, and he'll be like, hey, they talk about me on the radio. I'm like, you must be really detached if you don't know the answer to that.
He did say today, because we asked him if he still listens, and he said, is this where I have to lie and say yes?
Mark, do you know if Bouchette still votes for the Hall of Fame? Is he still? Who is it now from here?
No, he does not. It's Jerry. He's been doing it for the last 2 years.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nope. Jerry Dulac has been it's a lot easier than the years past because they do a lot of stuff over Zoom and phone calls rather than being in person like they used to do it.
So Harrison didn't make the finalist list. Hines didn't make the finalist list. Pouncey gets on the list next year, and so does DeCastro. Who from that group of four do you think has the best chance of eventually getting in?
I think Pouncey, because to be honest with you, in every single season he's played more than 10 snaps, he was a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro. He was a different type of breed in my eyes. However, centers are not easy to get into the Hall of Fame, especially now when they pretty much made it harder to get into the Hall of Fame right now, especially with a lot of this talent coming up with quarterbacks. Was there three quarterbacks in the next couple of years here with Breeze, Rivers, and Roethlisberger, I think, right?
Yep. Rivers and Breeze will be on it next year.
Yeah, then Ben, then Brady the year after that. It's going to be tough. I think he deserves it the most, although right up there to me is Hines Ward. I think it's impossible.
Wait a minute. Let's go back to what you just said there. So you would personally rank Pouncey ahead of Hines Ward?
I love what Hines did. I really do, and I think he should have been in it 10 years ago. But I really like what Pouncey did, and it's hard to describe what he meant more than the just X's and O's on the field. He meant so much to that organization, so much to that locker room, and that's what they're missing right now, in my opinion. I thought Pouncey was spectacular career, and I think he could still be playing right now if he wanted to.
I think I'm so on Mark's side here.
Really?
Yeah, because, Mark, you know, the way that I feel that, you know, not that this is like unorthodox thinking or anything, but when you think of Hall of Famers and you bring up a guy's name, you first have to just think off the top of your head, was this guy among the truly best in the game, like top 3 to 5 at his position for a good chunk of his career? As complete a player as Hines Ward was, position for position, I feel like Pouncey, for a while, until maybe the last couple of years, he was always in the conversation of the best center in the NFL.
All right, but to Mark's point about the logjam, when Jason Kelce gets on the ballot, he's going to automatically get ranked ahead of Pouncey, and he should. And I love Pouncey, but right? I mean, you can't put Pouncey ahead of Jason Kelce.
Plus, I mean, it's tougher to get in now. That's what they wanted. So there's going to be guys like this that are going to have to either wait longer or not get in. I mean, you're right with the, you know, if these guys are solid, you know, players throughout their career, and it instantly jumps up at you that he's a Hall of Famer. I never viewed Eric Allen as that.
I was
never.
Just going to say that. How do only three guys get in from the modern group, and Eric Allen is one of them?
Yeah. And not a guy like Kuechly that everybody had at the top of that list if you looked. Bunch of other guys. I mean, Reggie Wayne was just a difference maker too for so long. That's it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how Eric Allen is in it. I hate to just rain on anybody's parade who's in the Hall of Fame, because obviously he's a great player. But when you have the rest of that list just looking in and saying,
I don't think Eric Allen should be in over James Harrison. How about that? I'm going to go on record.
I'm not a big fan of the short but spectacular runs, the Tony Baselli's, the Terrell Davis's. I'm not a big fan, and I think maybe he fits into that route, into that category of Harrison. Had, 5 years of greatness?
Yep.
But I'm more of a guy that you have to have 10 to 12 years.
Well, then you wouldn't put Kuechly in because he only had 8.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're right.
Who you got in Kuechly. The Super Bowl, Mark? Who's your pick?
I'm going Chiefs, man. Can't beat the champs. Even though it's strange, because there's not too many people that I think are picking the Eagles to win, but they want them to win. I'll tell you real quick, my kids go to school and they told them, you know, wear a color shirt of who you want to win. Even, you know, preteen, 8, 9, 10-year-old, including my daughter, who's a big Taylor Swift fan, wants the Eagles to win. So,
and wasn't there a new plunger purchase this week, too, special for the game?
Yeah. Oh, it's I haven't got to use it yet. I'm going to have to use it on myself after that pizza. But I had to, because it's just the last two clogs, I was like, it wouldn't work. My plunger was just not working, so I had to upgrade the plunger. It was like a $20 plunger, so I'm guessing, hoping that works.
Starting that sentence with the last two clogs.
the other 60 clogs before that were not that bad, but it's the last two that have really...
I had to wait overnight to loosen up a little bit to try to get... It was just not good.
So. We're just not going to get this detail anywhere else.
No. We should put this in the promo.
This is some true play-by-play.
Put this in a promo for Cabali's appearances on the station.
It's just, I mean, he's very proud of himself when he does it. I don't know. I'm teaching him well.
All right, Mark. We'll listen to you on the morning show on Monday. We'll see you.
All right.